I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, as we revisit some verses that we looked at this past Lord's Day. Let's stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Luke, chapter number 1, I begin reading in verse 26 once again. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the kingdom of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 32. The angel told Mary, "He shall be great." And I want you to believe that tonight. Not only shall he be, he is great, isn't he? Of course, they were looking forward to his coming. Now he has come, and he's great. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way. We thank you for the time we have looking to your word. Lord, we thank you for the blessed birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for that day when Gabriel came and spoke to Mary, and Lord told us of him, told her of him, and told her that he'd be great. And Lord, may he be great in our eyes, in our hearts, in our souls once again. May he be great in our nation once again. Lord, may we recognize how wonderful that he is. Help us tonight to be what we need to be for thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. We have here the announcement of Gabriel to Mary. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 26, when the Bible says he was sent from God. I like that, don't you? God sent an angel to Mary, and he had an announcement to make to Mary, and the Bible says that this angel was sent from God to bring good news. He was sent to a specific place, and in this place there was a specific person, and to this specific person he had a specific announcement. And the Bible teaches us that the Bible says that Mary's going to conceive and bring forth a son and going to call his name Jesus. And then the angel says, "He shall be great." Well, everything the angel said proved to be true. When he came into this world, he was great. When we think about this, we think about all that the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we realize that there's so many things that teach us about him being great. As a matter of fact, when you study the Bible, you're not going to find the Bible saying that a person is great outside the Lord Jesus. The Bible says it well when the Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want you to know tonight that God said he shall be great. The angel said he shall be great. The Holy Spirit says he shall be great. The songwriter wrote it well when he wrote the song, "How Great Thou Art." It's a wonderful song, and when you read the verses of it, you begin to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want to declare unto you, if we're ever going to see anything happen in our lives, if we're going to see anything happen in the lives of our family, in the lives of our churches, and in the lives of our nation, we must proclaim and believe with all of our heart, once again, that He's great. America was once a great nation because they had a great Savior. It wasn't a party. It was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have people looking everywhere for all the answers. We have people looking to the White House. We have people looking to the Senate. We have people looking to the Congress. We have people looking to the governors. But I want you to know the answer is not in the president. It's not in the senators. It's not in the congressmen. It's not in the governors. What we need tonight is an old-fashioned dose of the old-time religion where Jesus Christ is great once again. This country's been great through the years and won battle after battle and war after war because Christ meant something to this country. But the less we make of Christ, the less we bless by Christ. We need Him to be put in His place again in our hearts and in our lives. I think about how He is great, and if you know Him tonight, I think you'd be saying the same thing. He's great. He shall be great. We speak of this attribute of Him, and the angel made sure that he used this. He started talking about what He'll be called, but he said He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, but He's going to be great. The Lord God will give unto Him the throne of His father David. He shall be great. When we think about Him being great tonight, I want you to, if you're taking notes, write down number one, He's great because of creation. Because of creation. I love what the Bible says. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Tonight, when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being great, we realize that He is great because He is the Creator God. We look and we talk about the first person and the second person and the third person. I'm guilty of saying it myself, of the Godhead. But that's not how the Bible declares it. The Bible helps us to understand they're co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent, one with the other. They are all equal. When you speak of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they're all on level ground. And tonight when we think about this, we realize that Jesus Christ is the Creator because in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. This world didn't evolve. This world didn't bang and just happen. I'm going to tell you what happened. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God spoke the world into existence. I'm going to tell you tonight, only the great God could do something like that. You know, sometimes you can go to the zoo and you see all the monkeys and then you watch how people behave and you begin to wonder, is evolution really true? But I know what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that He is the Creator, that He created the heaven and the earth, and He's the same Jesus Christ that came into this world was the same God that was there in the beginning. He was already existing. See, our Lord has no beginning. It's the only God like that. There are lots of gods in this world, little g gods. But there's only one true and living God. And the God I'm talking about tonight is from everlasting to everlasting. As far as our finite minds can go back, maybe you have the ability to think back millions and millions and millions of years, but just about 6,000 years ago, I believe the world was spoken into existence. And I believe that before that time, and you say, well, I believe the world's older than that, and maybe you believe in the gap theory. No, I'm not going to sit up here and talk about all that tonight. That's another time, another discussion. But it doesn't matter how you feel about it before He already was. I know how I feel about it, but I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm preaching on Him being the Creator. And I know what the Bible teaches me, in the beginning God. I like to stop right there, in the beginning God. When the beginning happened, God already was. He's great tonight because He is the Creator God. In the beginning, God created. Our Lord had no beginning. He already existed. And in 6 days, God created all things. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. And when through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. The angel said He shall be great. And tonight I want you to know He is great because of creation. Secondly, He is great because He came. Because He came into this world. I want you to notice what the Bible says there in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, and verse number 14. The Bible said in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says in John chapter number 3, verse number 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You know what the Bible says? Christ came into this world. I preached Sunday on the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. When we think about His birth and how He came into this world, we realize how great He is. We begin to think about all that He left to come down here so that He could live and suffer and bleed and die for my sins and for your sins. He shall be great. He is great because He came. He robed Himself in flesh and He came into this world. No other could do what needed to be done. If some other way could have happened, then Christ died in vain. But there was no other way. There was no other hope. There was no other chance. Jesus Christ had to come in this world and take upon Himself a robe of flesh. God had to become man. The rich had to become poor so that the poor could become rich. The sinless had to take the sins of the world upon Himself so that the sinners could be redeemed back to God. In the beginning, God created, and when He created a man. And this man was a man that lived in a perfect environment with everything perfect around him, but he was tempted by sin, and he gave in to sin. And I want to tell you what that sin did. It separated man from God. And there had to be a redemption. There had to be a redeeming price paid. In the Old Testament, we say the blood of bulls and the blood of goats as a forerunner of what really needed to be done. Because Christ had not yet come into this world, there were sacrifices made, and these sacrifices were given so that we would have a picture of the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there was a day that came when the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary and said, Thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, and He shall be great. And Jesus Christ came into this world. He came into this world for a purpose, did he not? The Bible says, I am come. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. If Christ had not come, the world would be condemned. But I have an announcement to make. Christ did come. And all who are willing to put their faith in the one that came into this world can be saved. He's great, isn't he? That's my Savior we're talking about. That's my Redeemer. That's the lover of my soul tonight. And He shall be great. He is great because of creation. He is great because He came. And then thirdly, I want you to know He is great because of Calvary. I'm glad the story doesn't end in a little manger in the side of a hill, in a barn in Bethlehem, in an animal stall in Bethlehem. That was the beginning of it all, but the end of it was when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and He cried from the cross, "It is finished." The work that needed to be done has been done. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but He sent a Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved." He's great, isn't He? You want to know why He's so great to me? Because I'm saved. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have been cleansed from my sin. I've been covered in Calvary's flow. And I'm going to tell you, my sins may have been as scarlet, but they've been washed white as snow. They were as crimson, but now they are as wool. And it's all because of Calvary. He's great because of creation. He's great because He came. And I want you to understand, He is great because of Calvary. Think of the suffering of Christ, the righteous for the unrighteous, the God-man for the godless man, the Creator for the creation, the lovely for the unlovely, the holy for the unholy. The wrath of God because of our sins was placed on Christ at Calvary. And when I think that God is Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, "My Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." Then sings my soul, "My Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." Oh, He's great. The angel said He shall be great. Great because of creation. He's great because He came. He's great because of Calvary. Finally, He's great because He's coming again. The Bible says in the same Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am," Jesus said, "there ye may be also." The promise is that He's coming. He said with His own lips, He's coming. The signs of the times cry out, He's coming. The tug at the believer's heart says, He's coming. I believe if we could understand, the birds would be singing, He's coming. The waves would be roaring, He's coming. The trees would be saying, He's coming. The rocks would be crying, He's coming. And the winds would be shouting, He is coming. But more than the birds declaring it, more than the waves declaring it, more than the trees and the rocks and the wind, Jesus Christ Himself said, I will come again. And in the final book of the final chapter of the final book, He said, even so, I will come quickly. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. The angel said, He shall be great. Truly tonight, He is great. All of us that know Him, we know He's great. We should serve Him as greatly as we can. If you don't know Him, this night, would you come and trust Him? I want to tell you how great He is. He's so great that He died just for you. And if you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then this night, if you're willing to come, confess to Him, recognizing yourself as a sinner, truly understanding that you are a sinner, and that sin separates you from God. And you say, I want to be in the family of God. And put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Simply just ask Him to forgive your sin, come in, and to come into your life, to be your Savior. Just trust Him, what He did. He forgives you because He died on the cross of Calvary. And what you need to do tonight is just say to Him, I believe You died on the cross for me. And I believe You rose again. And I can't make it to heaven on my own. And I know the Bible says there's only one way. And I'm putting my faith in that way. I'm putting my faith in this great Savior. And tonight, He's so great. He'll forgive your sin. He'll cleanse you. And He'll bring you into His family and promise you a home in heaven. He's great, isn't He? He's great. Do you know Him tonight? If you know Him, are you living like He's great? I was reading a book about America, about our history, I guess you could say. And every time I read a book about history, one that's truly accurate, not talking about our history books that's in our schools today, but talking about books that truly tell us about the history of America, even through some of the most difficult times and through times of sickness and through times of great adversity, through times of war between the states and then war with other countries, I found out that America became a great country because America believed in a great Savior. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying everybody was saved in America, but I'm saying that there was a respect for the Almighty God and an understanding of His greatness and an understanding that the reason this country was so great was because God made us great. But today, this same country that's been made great by God has kicked Him out the door. And so we don't need You any longer. May God help us, few in number, but to live and understand that He is great. And tell everybody that our Savior is a great Savior. One thing I found out, something you really believe in, you're not ashamed of it. We ought not never be ashamed We ought to be tactful, we ought to be right, and we ought to do things the right way. But we ought never back down from proclaiming that He's great. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll sing that song tonight, How Great Thou Art. It'll be our invitation song. You won't get that as an invitation song very many times. But as we're singing it, I want you to think about Him, who He is, about the angel saying, He shall be great, and how great He is tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd have Your way. As we have this time of invitation, Lord, may we be obedient. There be one here tonight without Christ as Savior. I pray that this night they would come and allow us to show them in the Bible what it means to be saved. Lord, in this congregation, I know many have trusted in Thee as Savior. And Lord, we know in our hearts, our lives, that You are great, but Lord, help us to proclaim boldly the greatness of Your love toward us, the greatness of Your grace, and the greatness of Your mercy. Help us to not ever be ashamed. Lord, help us to learn how to speak well about You to others. The right time, the right place, and in the right way. And Lord, may we be a strong Christian in a world that's moving further and further away from You. Well, thank You for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray.